Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now, here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my friend, my son, my co-host, my friend. He's got his own show, Chuck O'Celli. But before I do that, two things. You were all expecting Michael Ray Kidd today. Michael's feeling under the weather, so I'd like you all to send him some good energy. Michael will be on next week. Chuck was good enough to switch his schedule to join me today. I also forgot on Monday because I had so much news to give you an update on my daughter, which all of you wrote me after the show and said, what's happening? She's a whole lot better. She's already traveling with her work. When she gets back home, she'll go in for the surgery that she needs. But she bounced back, and I really believe it's because so many people were sending her such good energy. So that's happening there. Anyway, let me say good morning to Chuck. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mom. You know, it's funny. If you didn't bring it up about Gia right away, I was going to go to you. Because people ask me, how is Gia doing? Now that's, it's a funny thing. Like, I don't want to bother Maria because, you know, but a couple of people actually asked me, how is Gia doing? So there you go. There's where it's at, and I'm glad to hear that. Of course, no matter what, people, you know, some people will scoff at Reiki and this kind of thing, but even in the old days, I used to read about all of the positive aspects, the power of prayer even, the right. Collective energy that comes from individuals who are purposing themselves in one direction or the other. You know what? It does affect
Absolutely. The
three-dimensional world. Never forget that. Right.
Absolutely. Exactly. And don't forget, she's my daughter. Okay, so I had to remind her. I had a reminder while she was really down for the count in London. I truly believe she was going to die if we didn't get her home. But I reminded her, remember, you have your father's blood in you and my blood in you, which is demon determination. Luckily, we got her home. She went right into the hospital here at John C. Lincoln in Phoenix. They did a great job getting her infection under control. Because they waited 48 hours after surgery to give her antibiotics in London. And, you know, the first day, you know, she was pretty touch and go for a while. But she ended up really getting great treatment here. She had a lot of visitors. You know, I went into her room and they have a chalkboard that they keep, I guess, to keep track of what's going on with the patient. But there was enough room on there for me to put in an absentee Reiki symbol that faced her in that bed. Constantly. I also did, for my list, my students that are listening, I also did an absentee Reiki and put it in my medicine wheel for her. So people may say this is all crazy stuff, but I have found through the years, unless of course it's your time, this stuff works. So, you know, I did everything I knew how to do. Believe it or not, as you and I speak, she's in Oslo working today. So when she gets back, they figured she's had enough on the antibiotics. They'll be able to take the stent out and get rid of the kidney stones. So, you know, listen, miracles happen. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But like Sunbury used to say, people accused him of doing supernatural things. But he reminded people as an Ojibwa Native American that these things used to be very natural for us to do when we were connected to the natural world before we were taught that, you know, we should be afraid of it. So listen, whatever magic works is the way I see it. And these days we need all the magic we can get for sure. But I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, supernatural, not the right term. We should be talking about the things that are just natural. But again, forgotten. Fact is, though, I think we might be in need of something supernatural at this point, Maria.
Right. Maybe the Winchester boys. We need the Winchester boys from Supernatural to go to the White House and get the demons out. I know. Well, I'll make you laugh. Yesterday, My doctor's office had told me I hadn't had a physical in 3 years, okay? So I wanted to say I haven't had a break in 3 years either. But so I went in for my physical, and I'm sitting there with my doctor if he does all their things, you know, even they do memory tests and all this other bullshit now. And I wanted to say nobody's got a better memory than me. But when we were done, my doctor looked at me, Chuck, and he looks at me and he said to me, Maria, you're going to live for at least another 30 years. You know what my reaction was when he said that? I said, no, oh, no. That's what I said to him. No. And then I told him, I said, listen, life is hard. I said, and, you know, if there's such a thing as reincarnation, I am never coming back to this planet. And he just cracked up laughing. But, you know, it's not, you know, I posted something about that on Facebook. And people said, what's your secret? Look, God, it's not a secret. I've been talking about it, teaching about it for 20 years on this show. I've been living it for 40, 50 years. It's not right. A secret, okay? It's called lifestyle. You know, he tried to say, you know, you probably have good genetics in your family. And I'm like, no, okay? My mother died younger than me. You know, my father died when he was 77. I said, you know, some of my aunts and uncles lived into their 90s. But, you know, he said it like it was a good thing. And I looked at it like a life sentence. So I was like, maybe my spirituality is way ahead of everybody else's. But this planet is in the deepest trouble it's ever been in on every level. And, you know, even talking with Michael, who's, you know, been having terrible problems sleeping. And I've given him so many techniques and whatnot, and he's still having trouble sleeping. And I told Michael yesterday, I said, listen, we are in so much negativity, as you know. I said that no one can afford not to protect themselves, eat right, whatever, because the negative field is just swallowing people up. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV. Right. And he basically said, you know, we're either going to flip this year or it's just endgame. And I don't know how people can't see that is beyond me.
Well, if you remember, before we went into the calendar year known as 2020, I said to you that this is going to be the year where clarification is going to occur one way or another. I stand by that, not because I'm special or smart, but because it's just obvious. Here is where we're going to have to go forward. And we must open our eyes. There is no longer a time of being silent. There is no longer a time of being blind to things. I know that's ironic for me to say, but there is no longer a time when you can ignore and just stay disconnected from the world. But also, you cannot allow it to dictate exactly what your path is going to be. And you know, I get all bent out of shape at these things constantly. Believe me. I am, you know, the concept of Trump derangement syndrome?
Right.
Okay, so I don't like to talk about this on my show, but let me talk about it on yours.
Okay. Go right ahead.
I have it. I am absolutely incensed when this man makes this statement. I am angered in a way that I do not even comprehend from whence it came. Mm-hmm. I am disturbed to a degree now because I'm beginning to have no choice but to see that I'm somehow connected to this mess that I've tried to keep myself apart from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a strange idea, right?
No, it
Where
isn't.
It's like, you know what? I'm not part of this mess, but yet I am, because although I am a spiritual being here in this human experience, for the time being, this is my experience too, and I am responsible to that, and what I do with it is going to count.
Exactly.
And looking at this, which is in opposition to humanity,
mm-hmm.
in my gut, immediately this is what this says. Not just him, but he is a primary, perfect example of somebody that when I see him, when I hear him, when I understand the effect that he is having on my fellow creatures one way or another, the fact that I've got to explain to my little boy that this is the president.
Right.
The fact that, I mean, it's just, it is beyond comprehension. and it is not something that I can even articulate entirely. Mm-hmm. I am disturbed by this because this is not the way it should be. This is not the way it could be. And this is not the way that we have to allow things to be. Again, it's not just about politics and this man.
Right. Well, look at the destruction of the planet. Look at the destruction of our own web of life. You know, look at, you know, everything from Fukushima to Chernobyl to the ice melts to deregulations. I mean, it just goes on and on. And like I've said a long time ago, if you can't mutate, you're not going to survive what's coming. And that's another thing I told my doctor. I said, 30 years from now, I said, this world will be in a Mad Max movie. I said, no thanks. And you know what? He didn't disagree with me. I mean, on the plus side, that means I might be able to break an internet record and have 50 years of my show instead of just 20.
Well, I've often said I'm pretty sure you're going to outlive me.
I don't want to. I've already outlived too many of my friends.
Well, no, I understand. But at the same time, this is your purpose. And that's the thing, is that the reason why I'm being disturbed by this stuff, the reason why this is getting to me, and I used to be able to laugh it off, because my whole life's trajectory, again, born in 1972, my whole life's trajectory has been nothing but having the revelation constantly dropped on my head that things are not going the way they should. The planet is being poisoned. People are being misled. The entire circumstance of every creature on this planet is being turned into a suffering matrix of pain. This is the realization I've had to come to over the course of my entire lifetime. Mm-hmm. And if you take a look at the time period through which I've lived, you understand this. I'm not saying that, you know, before that there wasn't terrible, horrible things going on the planet. Certainly there was. There were world wars. There were epidemics. There were, you know, the people being destroyed for one reason or another. There was life being extinguished without any cause.
Right, but you didn't have the level of apathy that you have now. You know, I understand, exactly. You know, listen, nobody has the, I like to call it PTSD, post-Trump stress syndrome. But, you know, my granddaughter sat and watched the State of the Union with me last night. And I said to her, I said, Jenna, you think you should record my responses to it? She goes, Grandma, that would be great when you can post it. But I also knew it would be so triple X rated what was coming out of my mouth that I chose not to do it. But not only was I screaming at the TV like a man watching a football game, but I was countering every lie out of his mouth as fast as I could with the truth. And I mean, it was nothing but a ball of lies. And all I could think of was Nancy Pelosi's just feet away from him. And instead of tearing up that paper, she should have tore him up, because I don't think I could have not wanted to leap upon him myself. So I think that what you're feeling and a lot of people are feeling, according to psychiatrists that are treating more and more people for Trump derangement syndrome, that it affects us not just as a patriot, okay? But it affects us as a citizen of the world. It affects us on a soul level to see walking, talking evil that gets away with everything, which I'm sure he will today with the impeachment. It goes against anything normal people would want for their neighbors, for their friends, for future generations. So it's totally understandable. And listen, for me, the way I de-stress from it is I go to the gym. You know, I go to the gym and I bury it there. You know, the guys there always like to bust my shoes when I walk in. Hey, you're going to watch your boyfriend tonight on TV? You know, all this kind of crap. But they say it in a jocular way because they know once they get me started, then the speech begins. Okay. And I've educated more people probably through the years just at my gym than, you know, on the radio. And, you know, they do listen, okay? But when you see, which I thought for sure last night, that I was living on another bizarro planet, frickin' Rush Limbaugh get the Medal of Freedom, I just couldn't believe my eyeballs, and that the first hoe was trying to put it on. She couldn't even figure out a clasp. Maybe she's like her husband who can't work an umbrella.
Gets that Einstein visa, you know.
Yeah, I guess you get the Einstein visa on your knees when you walk across on your knees. But when I saw that for the hateful, woman-hating, racist, opioid addicted piece of crap. All I could think of was, let's take a look at who this racist rapist in charge has given the Medal of Freedom to. Now, remember, people like Rosa Parks and Mother Teresa used to get that. He's right. Given it to Tiger Woods, and when I made a comment about it on Twitter, I got permanently suspended. Even my fake account now is suspended. He's given it to the likes of Tiger Woods, another whore master like himself. He gave it to Sheldon Adelson's wife, if you recall. Okay.
Right.
And now he gives it to this piece of trash. And the only comment I could make on it is I hope they pin it on his coffin. Okay, so evil begets evil and rewards evil, which goes back to what my mother always said. Show me your friends and I'll show you what you are.
Yeah, look, that happened when I was on the air, by the way. I was doing my show and actually trying to navigate through the rest of the madness in our politics. You know, talking about the impeachment, talking about the circumstance in Iowa and all that. And in the middle of it, now I was on with a journalist, so he, of course, has the State of the Union on. I had it on, too, with the closed captions, but I wasn't looking. It literally, our conversation came to a screeching halt when Rush Limbaugh is receiving the medal, you know, the Medal of Freedom. And I just, you know, okay. The guy's got cancer, and normally I would say, look, you know, I don't have any ill feelings, but if you think about the amount of damage
right.
that has been encouraged by this guy over time, I mean, I used to listen to him at one point when I was a kid, because listen, you've always got to pay very careful attention to what the enemy has to say. And, you know, you do. It's the only way that you'll get to survive in this world. And if they're speaking, pay attention, because they're revealing a lot more than what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave that alone for now. And no, I'm not Sun Tzu, but I am Sicilian. So the thing is, I understand this. When this is going on, though, and he's also utilizing other people. Listen, here we go, black people. I've got a Tuskegee Airman here.
Right.
Like me, black people.
How come the Tuskegee Airman, who just turned 100, how come he didn't get the medal? Because he's black?
Yeah, well,
why did these people... You know, listen, I was so pissed off. I can't even begin to tell you. You know, right after that, of course, I watched General Hospital, so I calmed down. But I'm looking at this, and I said to, you know, my... Of course, you probably don't remember because you're young, Chuck. And for sure, my granddaughter doesn't remember because she's only in her 20s. But looking at the way he paraded not only the Tuskegee Airmen, but that little black girl... I mean, all of this, my mind, and I posted it on Facebook this morning for seniors that might remember, but years ago when they used to do telethons, and I'm not talking about Jerry Lewis's telethon this time, I'm talking about a telethon that Dennis James used to do for cerebral palsy. And what he used to do to make you at home feel sorry is he would parade these crippled kids out in their wheelchair, on their walkers or whatever. And they would play this bullshit song, you know, look at us, we're walking, look at us, we're talking, we who never walked or talked before. The way he exploited those kids, he eventually lost the telethon when America woke up to the fact that he was exploiting those children to raise money. All I could think of last night was that telethon and that these people allowed themselves to be used as props in the most disgusting way.
No, that is exactly what happened. I was going to bring up that next part there where it's just like, hey, look, I'm pandering to African-Americans. I'm pandering to African-Americans. You know, here's pandering to my base. Rush Limbaugh deserves the Medal of Freedom because he's been such a grand success in America and, you know, all of that. And you know, people as props, yeah, absolutely. I remember, and I didn't remember the guy's name. But I do remember that there were several telethons outside of Jerry Lewis. They weren't as big. Jerry Lewis would take up, you know, a whole weekend.
Right.
When I was a kid, for sure. And I don't know what year he stopped doing them, but...
Well, you know,
anyway.
Right. I actually worked one of Jerry Lewis's telethon when I lived in New York, me and my sister. We were on the phones in the back. So I got to, see, you know, meet Jerry Lewis, you know... I'm trying to think. Joan Crawford was there. You know, I remember her because I think she was married to either Coke or Pepsi. I don't know. I don't drink either one. So she provided all the machines, the Coke machines or whatever, for the people that were working there. But what a lot of people didn't realize at the time is they had an oxygen tent set up for Jerry Lewis in every break, because he always was sickly, which people did not know. They would put him under that oxygen tent in the bed. Just an aside, which of course has nothing to do with it. But I think Dennis James's telethon, it predated Jerry Lewis's, because I was a little girl living in Brooklyn. And I remember watching it with my mother. And, you know, my mother used to sing along with the song, okay? My mother would sing to anything because she liked to sing. But I remember how heartstring pulling it was, and yet sadistic at the same time. I mean, I was probably, 7, 8 years old watching it.
Well, you know, nowadays they do it in a soundbite version. You're confronted online and elsewhere. I don't know why I get these, but... Shriners Hospital is constantly pummeling me.
Yeah, they do the same thing on their TV ads, and I find it very disturbing.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. You know, here's where I get to not feel, you know, as though I'm sick, and, you know, support the Shriners.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But there's a lot like that. Listen, I'm not saying don't give to charity, especially children's charities. But, you know, there's a better way of going about it than exploiting people, but not the way that Trump exploited people in his audience last night. It was revolting.
Well, see, but that's the thing, is that last night, that's all designed for the grand campaign commercial. That is all designed for, you know, feel good when you think about Trump 2020,
mm-hmm.
which is so disturbing. I mean, and why do I say this? And you go, oh, well, what about it? Maybe he did these things legitimately. Yeah, I'm sure that he needed to also interject, hey, you know how it is? Your daddy's still off at war? Guess what? He's here right now. Like it's an Ellen DeGeneres show or something.
I know. He does everything like it's a reality TV show, but it's like the reality of hell is what he presents. And I'm sure you've seen this morning, the big thing, I mean, especially on Twitter, is which I haven't gotten on, but I read about it because I'm currently, again, suspended. is Nancy Pelosi tearing up his speech? Okay. Everybody, all the Trump trolls are super upset over her tearing up his speech, but they're not upset with him tearing up the Constitution.
Not at all. Not at all. And you know what's funny about that? Here's what I said immediately, because as soon as I was finished with my show.
All right.
I caught, you know, what was going on and took a look at that. And I said that my first instinct was a little different than everybody else's, Maria, because I said to myself, you know, a woman who's lived a life like, you know, and been on this earth for a while and maybe has a vowel at the end of her name. You disrespected her in public. You're lucky she didn't rip your head off. Ripping up that speech. Are you kidding me? He got away with it right there. She showed restraint.
I would have let. I don't have. Listen, as you know, she's Italian, and she's 78 years old, and he snubbed her, and she looks great, by the way. He snubbed her by not shaking her hand.
Right.
So who got the last laugh? She's got to have Sicilian in her. I never really looked to see what kind of Italian she is, but when I saw that, I said, if that was me, I would have leapt upon his back, and I wouldn't have stopped pummeling him until he was on the ground. So he's lucky it's Nancy Pelosi, so I'm assuming I'm never getting a Medal of Freedom from Donald Trump. But I think after all these years of my work, I should probably get the Purple Heart at this point.
Well, there you go. I mean, and the speed at which, I don't care how old she is, the speed at which usually a woman like that operates, and again, I know I'm being stereotypical about this, but... Put up with it for a second, Maria. The speed at which a woman like that's mind would operate, generally speaking, she could have gotten a backhand in there before he even turned around.
She's like...
I'm just saying. Okay, now I know that sounds...
All right, of course we're just kidding here, folks, but I don't know. For myself, I don't know. I really don't know. It's kind of like that question they always ask women ever since I was a young girl. What would you do if you were attacked? If somebody attacked you and tried to rape you? And a lot of women say, I would do this, I would do that. But the truth of the matter is no one knows what you would do until a situation is upon you.
No, that's true.
So, you know, I think that what she did do, she stealthily planned while he was spewing, you know, more lies a minute than Pinocchio could come out with.
Right.
So, you know, and she did it great because she tore each page individually. So here you had him ragging on California, ragging on immigrants, ragging on, you know, Democrats. What did he expect? And then when he was bragging about his wall, his 500 miles of his beautiful wall, I was screaming, your fucking wall just blew over. Okay. My granddaughter just sits there quietly, snickering under her breath, listening to me. But as soon as the show was over, that's when all the news things were happening. And she's looking on her little iPad. She goes, Grandma, Nancy Pelosi just tore up his speech. Do you want to see it? I said, how long is it? She said, 12 minutes. I said, no, I'll read about it. Because for me, it's easier to read about something than watch a video. I don't have the patience or the time for 12, 15, 20-minute videos. So she's, you know, she's totally aware. And thank God my children and my grandchildren are awake. And they're not afraid to tell the truth. And it doesn't matter to who.
That is the beauty of the age, is that you have the opportunity to be exactly as you just described as well. Doesn't make life easy, that's for sure, but...
Yeah, but I tell her, this is your world, you know, this is your world, this is your future. You have to pay attention.
Positive contribution.
Right, and you know, I didn't raise my children to be racist. I didn't raise them to be anti-immigrant, okay? So, you know, they take the same offense at things that I do because they were raised right. And when I look at all these ignorant people, especially, I mean, nobody beats Facebook for ignorant people. I'm like, did these people even have parents? You know, I mean, Trump, his own mother knew he was a loser. Okay. And I'm sure that when she gave birth to him, the doctor slapped her instead of him. But you know, you look at these people and they're like stone cold killers, okay? They have no conscience. When he mentioned the word soul last night, I almost threw up. I screamed at the TV, you don't even have a soul. But, you know, you heard there were cheers, there were boos. One of the Parkland fathers, he made a comment when Trump was lying about guns or whatever, and they ushered him right out. Okay, there were a lot of boos when Trump was saying, we want to reduce drug prices, which you and I know is bullshit. I yelled at the screen. Yeah, they just went up 6%. The Democrats were screaming, yeah, HR3, pass the bill. Okay, I don't know how anybody, I don't know why any of them sat there. If it would, to me, if they would have all gotten up, remember when they used to turn their back on Bush? If they would have all gotten up, turned their back, or walked out, it would have made a huge statement.
Well, you know, if they weren't moved by that, how in the hell they were not moved by the, well, we're going to protect, you know, people with pre-existing conditions.
Right.
I mean, the fact that it didn't erupt in laughter at that point is amazing.
I know.
I mean, even from his supporters. He's in court right now. He's sending people to court right now trying to eliminate that.
I know. I screamed that at the TV when he said it. I said, you son of a bitch, you're already in court trying to get rid of pre-existing coverage. And then he's talking about his great health care plan. I don't know about you, Chuck. Have you seen it? Because I haven't.
Well, you know, I remember there was a couple of pages of bullshit a few, I don't know, maybe it was 2 years ago that went around, but it wasn't actually a plan or anything.
They were crappy policies with no coverage, cheap. Of course they're cheap. You have no coverage in it. It's kind of like the Medicaid Advantage plan. Don't ever buy that one.
Yeah, listen, if you want to buy nothing, I'll sell it to you all day and real cheap. I got a good deal on it. No problem.
But here's the thing, you know, they're even posting online. This is the first time that a president's given a State of the Union address where it's not front page the next day in the news. I mean, nobody wants to cover it. This guy is a joke. And while you and I are talking, he's going to get acquitted by the criminals that put him in office, which means he can now do whatever he wants to do. And there'll be no checks and balances. And Americans seem to be okay with that.
Yeah, you see, here's the problem with it, too. And I know we're probably coming close to where you want to take a break, but I don't just hold him responsible for the damage that's going to happen here.
No,
a precedent has now been set, and it's because again, Nancy knew what she was doing by resisting going after him on the impeachment early on. This was not the best idea, because not only is he personally emboldened, but a precedent has now been set, Maria. I don't think people understand what this means going forward.
Well, Adam Schiff said it the best in his closing argument. He says, and from this point on, Trump can do whatever he wants. He can sell Alaska to the Russians. He can decide to retire to Mar-a-Lago and let Jared Kushner run the country. I mean, he made great points. I mean, he's probably one of our best modern-day statesmen. And yet Americans should be scared to death, and they just sit back complacent, you know, like geese turning their mouths up to the rain. And it's very frustrating for people like you and me. You know, we've been at this for so long. And sometimes you just feel like it's falling on deaf ears. I don't. I know I have a great audience. But we're still the minority. And the only thing I hold on to is the world is always changed by a minority. 1% is all we need. But I do fear for my country at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that whole concept of democracy, which basically boils down to mob rules, that's never been the functional way that the world has changed. It has always been a radically unsilent minority that has caused others to finally fall in line with new ways of thinking and major changes. Mm-hmm. So this is one thing that you've got to hold out for when you don't see the fact that, you know, some people are, there's a massive amount out there. I mean, how does this guy get to 49% popularity?
Yeah, you know,
after
those,
he's been shown to be a criminal.
You know, that's all bull crap. Come on. It was George Bush Jr. who said polls don't matter. Remember that? Polls don't count. All the polls they did after that election and every election since, polls don't count. So who's inflating that? What is the mainstream media? Why are they still encouraging and covering up for a man that they should be attacking every day for the mental insanity that he's obviously suffering? Do they still want another 4 years of this so their ratings will go through the roof, so they have something to talk about?
It's good for business, precisely.
Yeah, that's the American way. They sell their mothers for a dollar. Anyway, we have to take a break. Hold on. We'll be back. We want to talk about what in the hell went on in Iowa and probably is still going on in Iowa. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, Maria here. As you know, I always talk about spirituality being your only ticket out of here. You may or may not be familiar with Usui Reiki, but I've been a Usui Reiki master for almost 30 years. You may also not know that you can come in person and get your Reiki attunements with me anytime you'd like. I've had people fly here, even from another country, to get their Reiki attunements with me. Why? Because they trust me. Reiki is a wonderful thing, and it's the best way to develop your own intuition naturally. You don't need to do anything. The attunements start honing in on your intuition and developing it. It's great for self-healing. It's great for healing others. And it automatically starts to eliminate your karma. I do keep these sessions intimate. I've always taught it one-on-one, and that's the way I will continue to. So if you're interested in that, making a weekend out of it, that would be great. Just send me an email at maria@maria.net, and we'll figure out the best time and how to do it. So remember what I always say, we are all here building our next house. Might as well use every tool available to us. Thanks. Okay, I guess we're having a pretty fiery show here today, but we've had it. I remember I always tell my kids when they were little and they really pissed me off. I go, that's it, I've had it. And they knew when I said that it was time to run away. Okay, so let's shift gears a little bit. This morning, first thing I did, like I do every day, is I check Instagram first, is he dead yet? And then I saw that supposedly the count out of Iowa, I got to reset my brain. Iowa, supposedly Bernie won number one, Pete Buttigieg number two. I don't even understand how that's possible. Pete Buttigieg claimed victory yesterday, while nothing was counted. And then I got a story off Business Insider saying that somehow he was involved with the app that was developed to count the votes. Right. And we do know that he has a lot of corporate support. Let's not leave that out. And that everybody wants Bernie to get the axe as usual, like in 2016. What do you make of what's going on in Iowa?
Okay. So far, nobody's been happy with my analysis of it, but watch how it plays out. As soon as it started happening, and as soon as we went to the next day without the count, I said, oh, okay, so that's a shot to Bernie Sanders' kneecaps. That was exactly what that was meant to do, is to slow down fundraising for him, not because he would even be the best choice, but legitimately he was the guy who was getting the votes over there. Mm-hmm. Buttigieg and this whole circumstance with the app is a separate issue, so let me put it aside. But Sanders had to be kneecapped. Why? Because the heir apparent, according to the powers that be, should be Joe Biden. And just like what the DNC did mistakenly in 2016 by making sure that Hillary survived the entire process, right?
Right.
She was an awful candidate.
Right.
Regardless of the fact that they fixed the votes and everything. I'm telling you right now, and I stand by this still to this day, that people in the intelligence business decided that they couldn't even convince the public that it was a real thing if they stole the election for her. This is how we ended up with this fool that would be compliant for the deep state. Not fighting it, by the way. But anyway, again, put it aside. Back to Iowa. They had to kneecap Sanders because there's no way that they would be able to fool the public into believing that this guy doesn't wind up winning in the next little while. So they had to slow his momentum. Biden did so badly they couldn't hide it.
Biden was, then I think, number four.
What's that?
I think Biden came in at number four. But, you know, I've been saying all along, yeah, Chuck, Trump went through all this bullcrap with the Ukraine on Biden, and I've been saying it all along. What if Biden doesn't even get the nomination? He pulled all this crap, impeachment, everything else, just on a whim, because there was no proof Biden was going to get the nomination. Which I'm not saying he still won't get it, because America seems to like, you know, brain-dead, senile people in office.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Look, that's a good point. But the reality is that, you know, when people go, well, gee, why would he have gone through all that trouble? Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. These people are short-sighted. They're effective at you know, being able to game the media. They're effective at being able to game, excuse me, the throng of idiots out there that actually believe that this is their hero. Okay? They're able to game them. They're able to game a lot of systems. But in the short term, Maria, not in the long term. Not without the blockade of Republican, you know, establishment people protecting him, which, you know, remember, the Republican establishment will never accept this guy. Yeah, right. Watch. Look at how it's happening.
All right.
They do what they're told. But anyway, back to this Buttigieg in Ohio. There's all kinds of problems here. First of all, he hires, and just from the names, first of all, Shadow is the name of the company.
All right.
They're owned by a company called Acronym. I'm not making this up. And there is all sorts of things that you can tie Buttigieg to having tried to hire these people before this was a thing regarding this app. And by the way, they were going to let this app help out with a lot of other parts of the process. That's now not going.
No, right. Forward. Nevada said this morning they're not using that.
See, but that app now basically was planned failure in case we needed it in order to kneecap the wrong result, which they were getting. Okay, and on the ground, I mean, look, there's human error and incompetence that's there. I watched some of these caucuses in real time, and I saw problems with people not even being able to count that were in charge of things. You know, they're looking for 134 votes out of the people in the room. They've got 135. They got to go back and figure out why. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't add. So, you know, there was that going on.
All right.
Buttigieg, bluntly, as clean-cut and as reasonable and as many boxes as he checks on the progressive side and on the middle-of-the-road side and everything else, here's what the reality is, no matter what anybody says, and I'm just going to be blunt about it. In America, we are not prepared to have a gay man as the president. Okay? Not an openly gay man. You forget that fully 1/3 of this population automatically equates a gay man with a sodomite and therefore a pedophile. Mm-hmm. 1/3 of our population is like that to begin with.
But that's the same third. That's the same third that voted for a predator, pedophile, rapist. So you never really know. You know.
But that's the. But that it's not exactly the same third.
I know what you're saying, though. I know what you're saying. I don't disagree. Right. Right. Well, I guess. Listen. Here's the other part. You have what was it a week or so ago where Hillary Clinton goes on that nobody likes Bernie Sanders bullshit. Okay. Yep. So she still wants him out. And then a couple of days ago, even though he deleted supposedly his tweet or whatever. John Kerry, Skull and Bones, won against George Bush, Skull and Bones, too. John Kerry said in a conversation that somehow got recorded that, what do I have to do to enter the race to make sure Bernie doesn't win? Okay, so you have to look at these people and say, what is that about Bernie that scares them so much? Even Trump in his speech, I'm sure you heard he made a slight Bernie type comment by saying America will never accept socialism, that socialism is communism. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was another dig at Bernie Sanders. But, you know, who's raising the money? Who's got the unions behind them? From the postal unions to any other unions, who's got the millennials behind them? But you and I both know your vote doesn't count and won't be counted because we haven't picked a president in this country for decades.
Right. But, you know, part of the reason why your vote doesn't count is because, guess what? You're not allowed to order off the menu. And who designs the menu? You're watching the sausage get made right now. Mm-hmm. With this Iowa thing, which should be a relatively simple process. I mean, I joked last night that they should get some people from the NFL involved here because they know how to run a draft, at least. But the problem is that this is going to be predetermined. You're going to get handed the options. You know, who selected these options to begin with and who allows them to actually prosper across the entire country and become feasibly viable as candidates all over the place? A whole lot of things where you can manipulate a little here, manipulate a little there, and all of a sudden, even though the people didn't choose them, there they are. Like I said in 2016, I couldn't find a happy-go-lucky, like enthusiastic Hillary supporter. I couldn't find one to bring on my show. Not one. Not one.
Well, I said it at the beginning. I said, what kind of choice are they giving us? Cancer or AIDS? Pick your choice. And you know, people still talking about Hillary might decide to jump in the race. Hillary needs to go away, be glad she and her husband aren't spending the rest of their lives in prison, and just go away. And then they wanted to make a big deal out of, I don't know if you saw Rashida Tlaib when she was being interviewed on a panel on TV and somebody brought up Hillary and she booed. And everybody was up in arms because she booed. Well, she had the right to boo. This was right after Hillary slammed Bernie. You know, why is it that the white elite can say and do whatever they want, but no one else can?
Yeah, what is that about? You know what? Good point there. What she's not allowed to boo a woman?
Right.
Hang on, because I could have swore that at the very least, you know, you're in the game on an equal level. Guess what? You get told on an equal level, too. You're allowed to be criticized on an equal level, too. You should be called out on an equal level. You know, what, you're protected because your genitals are of similar configuration?
Right.
No, see, that was a mistake that Hillary made, in 2014, when she was starting to get ready to run for 2016 again, right?
Right, right.
You know, where she said, if you're a woman and you don't vote for me, well, you're not much of a woman. Women went, wait a minute, what do you mean
right.
by that?
Hey, listen, I always wanted a woman president, and I didn't consider her a woman president. You know, it goes back to when I interviewed Cynthia McKinney at the time when she was running, right after she didn't get, of course, she didn't get to be president. And I said to her, you're the only person that I've ever voted for. I says, number one, you're a real black American. And number two, you're a real woman. And I meant that in, you know, tongue in cheek about Hillary. But here you have, you know, the new batch of Democrats being demonized even from their own party. what Americans really need is we need to push out all the old establishment people in both parties. They need to go. Everybody in my gym yesterday, you know what they were all saying? This is their new quick way to just discount it all. Term limits, term limits, term limits. And I said, sure. Yeah, I said, I'm all for term limits. One in office and one in prison. And they all cracked up. So, you know, you can do a lot of teaching with humor and people will hear it. But when you start to see, you know, I'm sitting there watching that speech and I'm thinking, okay, you got first time ever and a president going through impeachment, giving the State of the Union. And I couldn't understand why Nancy even allowed him to give a State of the Union, to tell you the truth. She didn't have to.
Why was that invite still valid? Well, because at the end of the day, let's get honest. The Democrats who are supposed to be the opposition mm-hmm. are a well-controlled opposition. We always forget to mention.
Right. They're still serving Israel.
The same corporate structure.
Right. They're still serving Israel. They're still passing the war budget. And, you know, here he was talking about, you know, his new USMCA, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, same shit, different package. Okay. It's
all... Yeah, you slightly modified NAFTA. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, and
right.
Then when he was talking about, you know, how great the economy is, and then when he... One thing I did appreciate, though, when he slammed Obama's economy, he got loudly booed, and it shook him. It shook him for a couple of seconds. But when he's talking about how great we're all doing, I'm like yelling at the screen, you know, where's my $4,000 check? You know, who's doing great? I said, you know, I'm like, my granddaughter's sitting there probably just chuckling under her breath. And I'm like, everybody I know is losing money. So who's doing so great? You know, the market.
It's so funny. Let me stop you for a second. It is so funny to me how often you and I don't discuss certain things and we wind up saying the same stuff. we're both seeing the same world around us for sure at all times. Because I've been making this complaint every time somebody has brought this up over the past couple of years where they say, and by the way, not just during the Trump administration, during the Obama administration when they told us the economy was recovering, I said, really? Well, this is a long convalescence because I don't see it. It was so slow and arduous that it just was impossible to recognize or measure. And yeah, it did gradually, eventually get better, but it was sort of like having a cold for a year. You know, like you couldn't get over any of this stuff. You just kept having to get hindered by it. That's the way it went. And this guy who's talking about a growing economy, I don't see it anywhere. Your unemployment numbers are low for a couple of interesting reasons. First, one of the unemployment, you know, the unemployment numbers are
manipulated. Chuck, I got to interrupt you. There's a lot of clicking happening on your phone.
I'm sorry. Okay, hopefully it's okay now. Does it seem okay?
There's still some kind of static. Why don't we just take a short break and I'll call you back?
Sure.
All right. Okay, sounds like we fixed that little glitch. So, before we run out of time with everything else going on, how about this coronavirus? Okay, everybody being locked down in their own country now. Many cities now in China locked down. It looks like it's going to ruin Trump's trade deal because China's economy is not going to be up to speed because of the coronavirus. The market dropped because of it. And Wilbur Ross said that this is going to bring more American jobs, so he's glad it happened in China.
That was a bizarre thing. And the coronavirus, I stand by my original thoughts on this, that when it started breaking, it's a headline story. Fact is this. And this is true. You can check it for yourself. More people have died in the same time period that this thing became a headline story to today from the flu.
I know. I said that now, on my show the other day.
I did. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm repeating myself because it happens to be a fact.
Right.
Look it up.
I know.
You know, not you, Maria. I'm not saying you. But you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
This is the reality of the situation. This is something we need to keep an eye on because obviously the propaganda is being manipulated for a certain purpose. There may indeed be a purpose to the virus itself. I'm not saying there isn't, but then again, you know, you never know. There's a lot of things that happen that are, you know, really the earth giving us a kick in the pants as fast as it can. But there's also things that happen because, you know, man decides to play God with certain things and it gets loose. So keep an eye on it, but no panicking.
You know, one of my first thoughts was, and I forget the name of the author, and I interviewed him, but it was such a long time ago, Economic Hitman. And I wondered,
Perkins.
And that's right, his name was Perkins, John, I think, John Perkins.
Yep.
And that's still in the archives, I hope, to my listeners. And also for my new listeners, there is an entire section on stolen elections here with all the best people. It's a 20-year collection, so you can go in, everything from vote scam to code red to best democracy money can buy. Bob Fratakis, I mean, so many people that worked on stolen elections since I started the show in 2000. I thought that this could also have been because maybe Trump's fake trade deal with China wasn't going well. You know, there is a U.S. patent for coronavirus on file. That perhaps this was an economic hit. I don't put it past our government or any government to depopulate the world just for money.
No, listen, as I said, we need to keep an eye on this, not because you need to worry that it's going to come to a town near you. I don't believe so. But and even if it does, I don't think it's going to do the damage that they're, you know, screaming about.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, 100 people dead, I don't mean to sound callous, but 300 people dead, 1,000 people dead,
right,
quite frankly, over a short time period, is not all that earth-shattering.
All right, 50,000 Americans die every year from the flu.
Right. You know, there's more people have died, you know, from interactions with your local police.
That's
already,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Over
well,
the same.
Well, that's here. Another thing. Let's go back to Bluto's speech, where he was blowing smoke at all the cops and ICE and the Border Patrol. That's when I was really losing it on the other side of the TV. I said, what, the rapists, the child abusers, the torturers, the ones that are putting bags over children's head while they, you know, incarcerate them in his concentration camps? So, you know, listen, everybody wanted to say, you know, I don't give two shits about football. But I did watch the intermission, as I'll call it, whatever the hell they call it, with Jennifer Lopez. And she made extremely strong statements, especially having some of the kids singing along in cages on the stage. And everybody was up in my arms, only the, you know, the losers and the fake Christians and the trolls, about, oh, you know, how indecent she was and this and that. Who hasn't seen every inch of Melania Trump's body naked?
Well, you know, and besides that, we're in defense of Melania Trump. Get ready. I know. Catch your breath, Maria. I said that. In defense of Melania Trump, what is offensive about a woman's body anyway? You know?
There's nothing offensive about it, but here you got, you know, the first lady is basically a soft porn model who got in on an Einstein visa to have her anchor baby. I mean, the list goes on and on. With her Be Best campaign, with her husband, the biggest bully in the world. And
although she's an Einstein, she couldn't figure out which hand to put on her heart at their Super Bowl party, right?
Well, right. Well, while Trump was leading his invisible band, but he's upset that Kaepernick took a knee.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the hypocrisy is so unbelievable, and yet his fans, you know, they just see him like a little dancing monkey. And it's like anything he does, you know, when I was a kid, you'd walk through the street, you had street vendors. And one thing I remember is one street vendor who used to sell it, and it was made out of tin. It was so dangerous, and yet the toys we played with when we were kids, it's a wonder we didn't slice ourselves to pieces. He used to sell this little wind-up tin monkey, and when you wound it up, the monkey would just bang on a little drum. But to us, that was like high-tech, okay? And I think that Trump's fans look at him the same way, as a little dancing monkey, just entertaining them all the time, not understanding that that monkey is as dangerous as King Kong.
You know, that's the truth. And again, I know that's a throwback, but I witnessed the transition again in my lifetime. When I was a very little kid, toy trucks were made out of the same thing that the real trucks were.
Right.
You know, and that was steel.
We survived it.
Or tin or iron.
We used to break open thermometers and play with the mercury. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, not safe.
No, but I mean, now, you know, everybody will take them in their vaccines. And that's another thing with the coronavirus, because when I was on Richie Allen's show last week, he asked me about it. And I said, Richie, there's so many ways we could look at this. It's too soon to know who benefits. But right. I think it was yesterday when I read that, you know, China's working furiously on a vaccine. And I said, bingo.
You got it. And by the way, I'll be on Richie Allen's show tomorrow.
Oh, good for you.
Every time things go sideways in America, Richie calls you first, then me second, just so you know.
Well, you know, we're in this together. Listen, I have to tell you, when I looked at especially Rush Limbaugh getting this medal, and he's made millions, like Oliver North, all the criminals that make, you know, headlines in radio. And I think about people like you and me and Richie, you know, who work so hard and for so little, okay? So when I send my Reiki out at night, I send it to all of us. I mean, I ask for our protection, but I also ask for us to get our bills covered, okay? We're working our asses off here. That's just how I talk to spirit. We're working our asses off here. We're not looking to get rich, but make life a little easier, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're off planet, you don't understand the concept of how hard it is to live here. Where everything on this earth, human beings are the only creatures that have to pay to live on planet Earth.
A regular practice for me, you do the Reiki at night. I got to tell you that intermittently, every few days or so, I make sure to have my conversation with the Earth, to let Mother Earth know that I am grateful for the life force that it has granted me, that she has granted me,
absolutely,
that all of her children have granted me, whether it be the trees or the animals or the air which is produced in order so that I can continue to breathe, all of it. I actually spend my time thanking the earth for my daily life. You know, not every single day, but close to it.
Well, I send the planet Reiki every day. And I also send it to my students, to my listeners, to my guests. Because listen to me, we're all a very exclusive soul group. We all found each other. We're all in this together, and we have to support each other.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're living in truly a Mad Max movie, and we have to protect each other, and we have to cover each other. And we can never let, you know, we can never just let it slide that we're safe. We have to constantly be alert. And that's the truth.
That's right.
On every level, physically, spiritually, emotionally, you have to stay alert.
Situational awareness on all levels is required at all times, people.
Absolutely. That's simple. Well, Chuck, I want to thank you for, you know, last minute dropping in. And hopefully Michael will be great for next week. I like everybody to send Michael some good energy, and then you and I are back on together on the 25th.
Right, and I appreciate it, and it is no problem at all for me to change around my schedule or whatever for you. Anytime, I mean, I'd talk to you every single day. I don't know if people would listen to it, but I would if we both had time. And I don't care if anybody listened to it or not. I'm just grateful for the privilege to do so, and anybody who's hearing this, I am thankful for you as well. So thanks again, Mom, and let us all look forward to healing and a bit of clarity here in 2020, because one way or another, we're going to have to do both of those things.
For sure. Well, thanks, Chuck. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
Chuck Ocelli, check out his work, support his work, ocelli.com. There's a live link right here. And absolutely take advantage of all the education in my archives. Listen, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, so they say. So we all got to just keep hanging in there and support each other. So I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.